another episode of Deja Vu, the show where I talk about films and their lasting impacts. My name is Sydney Brumfield, and I am joined today by my first guest of the season, Tatum Dowd.
Hi, my name is Tatum Dowd. I use she, her pronouns, and I major in writing for TV, film, and emerging media at Ithaca College with a minor in integrated marketing communications. In my free time, I'm part of a media channel called Pop Breakdown. I'm also largely involved at ICTV. I'm a cast member on the game show Fake Out, as well as a producer of ICTV's one and only late night comedy show, After Hours. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, this is a gift. Thank you.
Of course, pleasure's all mine.
So this week begins my mini series focusing on female films. This week, Tatum has selected We Talk About Mean Girls.
I mean, how could I not? I'm obsessed with Mean Girls, as I like to believe a lot of women our age are, especially filmmakers.
Absolutely. So Mean Girls, which came out in 2004, was directed by Mark Waters, written for screen by Tina Fey, and based off of the book Queen Bees and Wannabes by Rosalind Wiseman. A quick synopsis of this film for those of you who have not seen it. I don't know who hasn't seen Mean Girls at this point. But Katie, a high school freshman, is thrown from the savannah to the arguably more dangerous terrain of American high school. Katie must now navigate the ups and downs that come with cliques and try to survive doing so. So just starting off, Tatum, why do you love this movie so much? What made you pick this for your female film?
I mean, Mean Girls defined a generation. In fact, I think Mean Girls defined multiple generations because, you know, I'm Gen Z, but I'm old Gen Z. We're sort of walking the line. And I know many millennial women who feel this way, too, where like in middle school growing up on October 3rd, which everyone knows is Mean Girls Day because of an iconic quote from the movie, everybody wore pink as a reference to that film. It's just something that I think really connects people. It's iconic in the sense that it's become a musical, regardless of whether it won any Tonys or not. I think it really like stands the test of time in the stories on how women are socialized to treat each other.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I was so excited when you selected this, and it was just a treat to be able to rewatch this again for this episode. I think one of my biggest takeaways reflecting upon the movie is the interaction between women. It's such an interesting, like, yeah, the plot's important, but I almost feel like the entire time captivated by these female characters in the film.
So I think it's really interesting talking about the book it was based on, Queen Bees and Wannabes, because, and I know this from the DVD bonus features, I watched them all at length in middle school, but Queen Bees and Wannabes, it's not a fictional story or novel. It's a psychology book on like how to raise girls because of queen bees and wannabes and these people that exist in middle school and high school who have learned to take each other down with their underhand. And I think it's sort of hilarious how we've internalized that and learned to treat each other because of that. And I always say in middle school, you were either a mean girl or bullied.
Were you a mean girl or were you bullied?
I wore exclusively Lands' End kids floor-length dresses, so I'm going to let you figure that one out.
I bet you were the queen of the plastics at your school.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have, watching this, a favorite character? Because I do feel this is such a character-driven movie.
I mean, in a way, I want to say my favorite character is Regina George, because this movie would not exist without her. I mean, she's terrible, she's awful, and yet I know her, I've been her, my friends have been her at one point or another, and I just feel like she encompasses so many things that we almost need to use as a cautionary tale in our own lives.
I think an interesting thing about how this film came to be and its production process is that this film, despite being like written and the book being written by two women, it is directed by a male director, Mark Waters. How do you think that has impacted the narrative of this film?
I do believe it was a bit of a detriment. Obviously, not enough to ruin this film. This film was absolutely amazing, and I think that the script was powerful enough that the material shone through regardless. But I think that you really don't understand how complex and sneaky mean girls are unless you've been one or experienced one. I remember I actually made my boyfriend watch this movie because he had a female friend that didn't like me very much, and he asked me how I knew. And I said, well, she looked me up and down one day and said, you look so pretty. And that was the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me. I couldn't believe she said that to me in front of my boyfriend.
No, I mean, like, the gall, truly.
Exactly. And he was like, what do you mean? That was nice. So I showed him this movie, and there's the scene where Regina George compliments this girl's skirt, and she says, oh my God, where'd you get it? And she goes, oh, it was my mom's in the 80s. And as soon as the girl walks away, she turns to her friend and says,
that is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
And it's things like that that just completely go over men's heads. I've had to explain it to so many of my guy friends, like, no, what this person said to me was mean. You don't understand it. Because we've learned how to keep just enough deniability in our insults that it's almost as if they never existed. You just walk away feeling terrible about yourself so that, like, you can feel a little bit better about yourself. And I think that having a male director, he may not have been able to get all of those complexities across if he didn't have such talented actresses. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have Lindsay Lohan, Rachel McAdams, Amanda Seyfried, like, these are women that no doubt have experienced this themselves and can bring those nuances and subtleties to their performances. So I don't think that he could have ruined anything, because I think that the amount of women involved in this project let that very real occurrence in life be shown and realistically portrayed. I just also think maybe there wouldn't have been a scene with two girls making out at a party if there wasn't a male director, but that's a whole other thing.
No, absolutely. Do you think that having a male director makes this any less authentic of a women's story? Like, you and I have both experienced mean girls in school and professional settings, unfortunately. Like, women do behave in, like, the way we see them behave in this film, whether we want to admit it or not. Do you think it also, like, would have been any different had it been a female director? Like, do you think any authenticity would have been gained, or was any lost?
I don't know, actually. I'd be very curious to see a female-directed Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if there is more that could have been added or that we could have seen. Because when I watch it right now, I don't feel like there's anything missing. And I think that is a testament to how good the writing is.
Mm-hmm.
And how just, like, on the nose it is on this particular issue. So I don't feel like we're missing out by having a male director, because to me, when you think of Mean Girls, you think of girls. You think of women, and you think of the women involved. Like, I didn't even know before this was a male director because in my mind, like, this is a female-led movie.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
I'll survive. It's Mean Girls.
Yeah. Do you think that the film of Mean Girls helps almost create this common experience that a lot of women have gone through throughout, like, high school and middle school? Or do you think it almost, like, helps to further divide or, like, stereotypes that exist about women?
I think it's the former, because I think that it creates a lot of solidarity if you've experienced, you know, being personally victimized by Regina George. And I think that solidarity sort of helps you feel like you're not alone. This was kind of a normal part of growing up as a girl, and it helps you, like, move past it, process it a bit, or maybe even see, like, oh, oops, I was the villain, I don't want to be that. But I think this line that gets blurred between hero and villain in the movie is what stops it from becoming more divisive of women. And it's not chocked full of stereotypes of, oh, women treat each other so horribly, but it's more, look at the environment they're in that's causing these women to be girls to behave this way.
Yeah.
And what might lead you to feeling like your way of surviving was to knock somebody else down like that. So at Regina George is introduced as a grade A bitch.
Yeah.
And at no point are they saying you should be like Regina. But I think the fact that we're following Katie, who started off completely out of this world, and we're learning about it with her, I think we learn the complexities of that world and why even Regina functioning within that system wasn't a villain, but more of a product of that high school environment.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite performance in the film? I'm just curious. This is like an A-list cast of characters that we have. I know it's really hard to pick.
I think that Gretchen Wieners does... Sorry, Wieners. I think that Gretchen Wieners does a fantastic job of being just downright hilarious, because her performance, she is playing this outrageously spoiled, naive character who just follows a pack, essentially has no arc, and is a caricature in a way of the person who followed, who I think we've all known that person as well. Like, I will correct my statement before. In middle school, you were either a bully, bullied, or you stood behind the bully with your arms crossed, thanking God that she wasn't looking at you.
Yeah, valid.
And I think that that's such an important character to show, but the hilarity of some of her lines and the way she said them, so matter of fact. Like, I don't think my father, the inventor of toaster strudel, would be too pleased to hear about this. That's hilarious. I think these first world problems are what this movie's all about.
Yeah.
Like, it's talking about important issues, but at no point is it calling itself profound. It's a comedy, and it makes you laugh. So, you know, it talks about these issues, and you really relate to the characters, but it's in a way that makes you laugh about your problems. And I think that Gretchen does that when, you know, her parents got her this beautiful pair of white gold hoops, and she had to pretend she didn't even like them.
I know, she's really a martyr, if you think about it.
I'd say so. I mean, suggesting that we stab Caesar...
Dude, she could have run that school if she wanted to.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm curious. Do you have, like, I think one of the biggest takeaways when anybody watches Mean Girls is the iconic dialogue. And I'm just curious, do you have, I know you cannot pick one, but it's like, are there some favorite quotes of yours that you use in your daily language?
Ooh, you should be careful, because I'm about to start reciting this movie from start to finish. I mean, I think that's a reason why this movie has stayed relevant for so long. I put it on to prepare for this episode, also because I really wanted to watch Mean Girls.
Of course.
And I was talking along with the entire movie. But I think "You Go, Glen Coco" is a classic. Honestly, anything that comes out of Damien's mouth. Like, and none for Gretchen Wieners. Bye. But I also think, in a way, this movie was, I think, pretty revolutionary in the way that, you know, Tina Fey's character says,
"You all have got to stop calling each other sluts and whores. It just makes it okay for guys to call you sluts and whores."
And I think that seems very obvious to us now. You know, I think sex positivity has come a long way. I think that women realize now that it takes two people to sleep together. And we're seeing the ways that there's a double standard for men and women in, you know, sexual situations like that. But I think some of the quotes in this movie sort of let us reclaim slut and whore.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, "I can't go out, I'm sick." And Regina says, "Boo, you whore."
Oh, yeah.
Or, "Get in, loser, we're going shopping."
Mm-hmm.
I think when you have this movie to connect it, you can mercilessly insult your friends.
Mm.
And they know that it's out of love.
Yeah, I like that. As a woman in film, like, you do ICTV, you're a producer, you're a talent on shows.
Yes. I have spent a lot of time on camera. I've been part of entertainment news channels. I've been a game show contestant. I've been acting for a while. But I also do produce a late night comedy show with two men, two really wonderful collaborative men. But it is something that I have noticed when I walk into a room.
Of course. How do you think, as like a filmmaker, a woman in film, Mean Girls specifically has influenced you as a person, even just personally, professionally? I'm just curious what connections you have to it.
It's definitely influenced me, I think, as a writer for the most part. I major in writing for TV, film, and emerging media. And in fact, last semester, I wrote my very first feature-length film. And during a critique, a classmate told me that my story reminded them a lot of Mean Girls, but they meant it as a compliment. I was like, please do not worry. A compliment is the only way I could possibly take that. And I think it's one of those movies that influences you so much without even realizing it, where I was not thinking of Tina Fey or Mean Girls whatsoever when I had written my script. That was about theater kids. It was like a very different topic. But I think when you capture the absurdity of how high schoolers treat each other, it's going to remind you of Mean Girls, especially when it's comedic. And I think that's something that's influenced me a lot, because I know Mean Girls was the kind of movie I connected with, and I want to continue writing and producing content that I think other women could connect with as well.
Absolutely. Why do you think there hasn't been another Mean Girls? Do you know what I mean? Like, why do you think, or are there? Maybe I don't know of them.
There has been another Mean Girls. Mean Girls 2, we don't talk about it.
Oh my gosh, no. I mean, like, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. It's really interesting because I remember when The Duff came out. People were saying this is going to be the next Mean Girls.
No, dude, I have like a personal vendetta against that movie. I just think promoting The Duff, the dumb, ugly, fat friend, is horrible.
Yeah, and I think that's why it flopped so badly, because Mean Girls, I think, was showing, yes, you can be a mean girl, but it gets more complex than that. Mm-hmm. And like, you find different outlets and maybe the dynamics change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they begin by showing you all of these cafeteria tables and mm-hmm. each different high school stereotype. And by the end of the movie, they've demonstrated that, like, no, but all of these stereotypes are coming together. And it's like, stick to the status quo in High School Musical. Like, all of the lunch tables are mingling. It's anarchy in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. And I think what The Duff failed to do was reveal the complexities of the mean girls. The mean girl in that movie, she was just a bitch. Mm-hmm. That was her entire character. There were no reasons for her actions. And I don't feel like anything she did to sabotage the main character was relatable at all. I think it became, you are the mean girl, you are the designated ugly fat friend, you are the fashionista. And they pointed out all of these high school stereotypes, like any good teen high school movie does, and then failed to show us why they're more complex than that, and just had the main character curl her hair and everything was fine.
Do you think also the role of male characters is important in Mean Girls in any way? Like, I think it, just because you brought up The Duff, I think there's a huge contrast in how we see men portrayed in The Duff and how we see the male characters in Mean Girls. I think specifically when it comes to how the girls interact in a way. I almost feel like in The Duff, the man is very much the goal of the film. Helps drive the plot and also fuels stereotypes about dumb, ugly, fat friends, rather than, I feel like, in Mean Girls, you want Katie to end up with him, but more importantly, you want Katie to find peace within herself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you compare those two movies, I agree, like, the man was the goal. The entire reason why the Duff in the movie The Duff wants to become more desirable is to get this guy she likes. And then, oh my God, she was liking the wrong guy this whole time. But she's still going to end up with the guy. But I think with Mean Girls, one thing that Aaron Samuels' character, the main love interest, I think one really important function he played in the movie was that he was a prize to be won. And I think it revealed more about these games that Regina was playing with Katie and how he was a status symbol. And by the end of the movie, of course, we see that he's a three-dimensional male character, which matters too.
There's not enough of those, really.
Truly. Come to think of it, I do not know if this movie passes the reverse Bechdel test. But I think that the men in Mean Girls, the male characters, serve to demonstrate what girl world looks like to the oblivious member. So this whole movie, it talks about, Katie compares girl world, which she's just now discovering, to the animal kingdom. And I think that Aaron Samuels is a baby gazelle. And I think that's the entire point, is that the men in this movie serve to paint this picture that guys have no idea what's going on underneath the surface of these female conflicts, because you let them boil under the surface until it doesn't even explode. It just turns into these like little underhanded things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you think that this is an important film for people of all gender identities to watch? Like, do you think more specifically men should watch this movie?
Absolutely. I think the world would be like 3% better if every man had seen the movie Mean Girls. Because I know in my personal experience showing this movie to male friends, they have left it with an understanding of a world they didn't even know existed separately from theirs. And I'm obviously not saying like, oh, men and women are so different, they live in different worlds. But I mean in the way that they socialize with each other. And, you know, men, I think, have a tendency... No, not just men. Women, too, yeah. have a tendency to say, like, oh, well, female friendships are more drama. Mm. And I think when you watch that movie, you start to understand more why that drama looks the way it does and how those conflicts are similar to ones you would see in an all-male friend group.
Yeah. Thank you. That's, I think, really helpful insight. Everybody should see the movie Mean Girls.
Everybody should see the movie Mean Girls. Unless you are 13 or under, ratings still matter.
Ratings do still matter. All right. So I guess my kind of closing out question to you would be, what would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5?
Well, that's really difficult because I'm not going to pretend that this movie has stayed completely ageless. Mm-hmm. There are aspects of the way it represents certain women that I do directly disagree with. For example, it fetishizes Asian women by having these underage students, two Asian underage students make out with a teacher. And it's a joke.
Yeah.
And this movie that's simultaneously telling you don't insult the promiscuity of a teenage girl, it's a teenage girl, is insulting the promiscuity of a teenage girl because she's Asian. And I think it fit in with stereotypes for a quick, cheap laugh. And so for that reason, I do have to dock it some points.
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, you know, I've spoken so much about how much this movie means to me and how just perfect it is in the way that it depicts these complex issues that I think I have to give it a 3, because it's a 5 in my heart. You always have to deduct points for racism,
of course,
and I think that from, you know, a technical standpoint, nobody's going to be writing a thesis on this film and its cinematography. It didn't win any Oscars. Musical didn't win any Tonys.
Boo.
So it's a 3, but in my heart, it is so much more.
I completely agree. I would rate it a 3. I think you hit the nail on the head with how, I think we see this a lot, especially in early 2000s movies, how horribly they have aged and how our bar for what is socially acceptable has definitely moved in the right direction.
Yeah, it was really progressive, nuanced feminism at the time. And now we can look back on it and say so easily, like, wow, this was just overtly white feminism.
Yeah.
Like, only the issues that are impacting this white protagonist and only the assumptions you make about her are the ones that need to be challenged and interrogated.
Yeah, thank you for that insight. Absolutely. So that would conclude our little talk about Mean Girls. Tatum, are there any projects or shows or things going on in the semester that you'd like to plug as a Park student?
I mean, ICTV's one and only late night comedy show, After Hours. Rumor has it there's a female producer. There have been in the past. That's not groundbreaking. That being said, I'm very excited for this season, and we are on ICTV.org if you want to check out any of our episodes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Deja View. Tune in a couple of weeks to hear me talk to guest Maddie Leitner about the 2007 film Across the Universe. Be sure to check out theithacan.org for more interesting content. You can listen to any of the Ithacan podcasts wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at theithacan.org. Thank you guys. Can't wait to talk in a couple of weeks.